Hi, my name's Tash and I'm an alcoholic.
My name's Caitlin and I am not an alcoholic, and this is an exploratory podcast looking at alcoholism, mental health and addiction within the arts and all of the things that make us question,
why am I like this? How you going?
Ooh, I'm all right. How are you?
Good. Good.
Good.
I was distracted by your microphone. Yes. Having a little moment. It's fine.
We're good. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good.
Festival season is fast approaching, almost upon us.
Yes. I think by the time this is out, it is like
just
tomorrow.
Started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something hectic like that. So last week we chatted to the wonderful Laura from Big Mood, who talked to us a little bit about burnout, surviving the festival guide,
a guide to surviving the festival.
Very good.
There you go.
Yeah. And today we're just going to talk a bit more anecdotally about our experiences with burnout, all the different ways it manifests itself.
Yes.
And things that you can do to call yourself out and stop.
Yes.
Or at least try.
Yeah. Yeah, to be aware of it and how to manage it and all that kind of stuff. Oh, me and burnout, we're like...
You're good friends.
We're very close. Yeah.
I'm all right now. Since I stopped drinking, I'm a lot better.
Ah,
a lot better.
Interesting.
Because I think I used alcohol as like petrol to keep going, you know? Whereas now my body goes, nope.
Yeah.
Like I can physically listen to my body a lot more.
Yeah, interesting.
And I'm a lot more aware of it and in tune because I'm not constantly smashed.
Yeah.
Or I'm not constantly smashed at or before work either.
Yeah. See, I'm in the process of discovering that I overload myself to avoid other things. And that overloading leads to burnout. But then I also don't listen to my body, which I'm also in the process of learning. And then I will either just like push through and crash and burn and get really sick. Or, and this is a current theory, my endometriosis flares up, which it currently is at the moment.
All of those things are stress related. Totally.
It's a lot.
Totally. Like your body is your stomach is your brain and your body knows what it needs, you know.
Yeah.
When it needs a rest, it will force you one way or another.
Yeah.
I'm a huge believer of like things happening for a reason and happening, you know, right place, right time. And I feel like breaking my ankle while that was obviously horrific, I feel like it forced me to rest.
Yeah.
And it forced me to slow down and stop and take my sobriety day by day and, really cope through it.
Yeah. I get tonsillitis.
You're a chronic tonsillitis person.
It used to be until about 2 years ago. And then I had it once and it was horrible. And I was out for like 3 weeks and it was peak Christmas seasonal time. Like working a seasonal job. Why they kept me on, I have no clue. But thank you. And then, it just like, I think I've had tonsillitis like twice this year. And both times it was like busy festival seasons.
You just run down.
Yes.
So do you think you get mental cues or physical cues first that you're getting stressed?
Mental cues. Yeah.
What do they sound like?
It's like, it's just a flurry of like, I need to think about this and 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 this.
But you're not actually thinking about anything. You're just thinking about the list.
Yes. I'm just thinking about all the things that I need to do. And then I think my speech gets altered and I like lose track of thought and it's like, I'm trying to say this, blah, blah, blah.
While I'm having thoughts. I'm trying to speak while thinking.
Yeah.
Different things. Yeah.
I've been told I get this really, like, I give off a really frantic energy when I'm stressed and overloaded. Which I feel like it's always, like, one particular person who we always tend to catch up. And I'm like, I have to do 10 different things and you're coming with me. And they're like, you need to slow down.
Yeah.
No, I don't. I do. Yes.
But, it's tough, right? Because I understand that I should stop.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same as drinking. Like, it's the same. Like, I understand that I should stop.
Yes.
I can see the signs that I need to slow down.
Yeah.
But I cannot.
Yes, and I still will not. The 20 other things that I need to do, but I don't need to be doing the 20
I obviously am aware that I craft and create and make work for myself so that I don't have to feel things. That has absolutely become my new addiction, I guess. Yeah. Like I've just sort of replaced, well, not really, because I was always like this anyway.
Yeah.
I was just drunk while I was doing it.
Yeah.
So I was less productive.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. A word. Yeah. I was less productive when I was drinking, but still doing loads and putting loads on my plate.
Yeah.
And now that I'm so much more productive,
yeah,
it gives me the false illusion that I can just add more.
Yeah.
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 What about physical cues? Your throat? Is that your first one?
Throat and just really like tiredness is a really big one for me. So throat, feeling tired at the moment. It's a lot like leg sort of stuff.
Backache.
Legs. Oh my God, the back and neck. Yeah. Especially because I always forget to use a backpack instead of a tote bag.
And oh, get yourselves a pair of trainers and a good orthopedic backpack.
I have a backpack. I'm not getting trainers. I have Docs. They are orthopedic enough.
Are they?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for
it. Yeah, because you're going to break them in like your specially crafted.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. The old ones are better when they change manufacturers, but whatever. Suppliers. Manufacturers or suppliers.
Tangent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get really tired and my body just kind of collapses in on itself. Like my body gets to a point where it's like, you're not allowed to leave bed.
Yeah.
Like, no.
And then you become so stressed because you can't do any of the things that are on your list.
Yeah.
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 And do you tend to try and take the things on yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. Classic. Same. And like people, like I'll be in the studio trying to do something one-handed and using my foot to like balance it.
Oh, wow.
And somebody else will be in the room and they'll be like, do you want a hand? And yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like that genuinely doesn't occur to me. Like yes. I'll just do it on my own. Like I always do everything on my own. Why wouldn't I do this on my own?
Yeah. I've gotten better at that.
Yeah.
This time around. So like at the moment I am working 4 days a week and like doing at least, I was talking to a psychologist about this today. Working 4 days a week and especially coming into the festival season, I'll be doing a casual job on top of that and then like freelance workload that equates to like a part-time job and then still trying to maintain a social life, eating healthy.
Yeah, so you're essentially trying to have a full-time job,
yes,
a part-time job,
yes,
and a casual job, yes, all at the same time.
Yes.
And having and you're moving house, and you're trying to have a social life, and you're gonna want to see friend shows and experience, yes, social things,
and
as well.
And I'm reviewing as well.
Oh, that's on top of that.
Yes.
Okay, and you're reviewing, yes, shows. That dude, that's kind of insane. Like,
I know.
As a list, surely you can hear that. That's,
yeah, I know.
Okay, so what are your management strategies?
So I have them written down.
Good for you.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, right? Look at this organization.
I'm so pleased you actually have an answer.
Yeah. I prepare for this.
Love it.
Cool. You can hear me like, this is like ASMR shit in different writing. So there's two different ways that I am hoping to manage this. Like both proactive and reactive sort of stuff.
Okay.
So proactively, I still want to be able to do all the different things and I want to have all those plates spinning, but in a way that I'm not burning out and I'm still taking time for myself.
Yeah, like a slow rotation rather than a frantic spin.
Pretty much.
Sure.
So the things that I'm going to do is make sure that I have like food prepped, and that includes like going to the markets, like taking that time out like every Saturday morning, and then like actually prepping the food, and that way I have meals for
prepping
the week.
For the week.
Yeah. So I'm eating healthy. I still have that time of like cooking and having that like 2 to 3 hours of downtime and like self-care.
Yeah. Do you like cooking?
Yes.
What?
Like, yes, but like I wish I was better at it.
Okay.
But I enjoy that process of like having 2 hours of not like having to do anything external.
Do you think that's kind of part of your personality of like, well, I want to be better.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like what's funny is that I'll try cook 3 meals at the same time.
Do you see a pattern here?
Yes, 100%. Like, definitely. Like, this is just a repeat of the conversation I had with my psychologist this morning.
Ooh. It's so annoying when you can hear yourself and you're just like, yes.
I'm aware.
Yeah.
Story
of my life being an alcoholic. Like, yes. I would say things and then people are like, do you think? And I'm like, oh, no,
you
know, it's so fine.
Hear yourself say that? And it's like, yes. So food prepping, I'm trying to like introduce meditation into my life.
Cool.
And like 10 minutes of mindfulness.
There's an app for that.
I know.
There's a bunch.
I use one.
Yeah.
I
totally recommend using apps. I just find,
yes.
And that was the same thing with I Am Sober, with that sobriety app, is like if I didn't have that to keep me accountable, Oh, not like I would have fallen off the wagon, but it's a nice timely reminder for sure.
Yeah, so I use Headspace is the one that I use because I like actually like the male voice, which is weird.
Interesting. Yeah. Is that a free service?
Yes, it is.
Cool.
Except I keep doing it at 11 o'clock at night before I go to bed and like wanting to fall asleep during the 10 minutes of like mindfulness meditation, which is defeats the point.
So I think they recommend you do it when you wake up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that.
Can you spare 10 minutes in the morning?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
You can make the
definitely.
Time.
Yeah. I can stop scrolling on my phone for 20 minutes and actually meditate for 10.
Attacked. So I was talking to Alex in Melbourne and she was saying that she has stopped checking her phone the first thing she does in the morning.
Yeah.
So now she's started this really good routine where she'll get up, get herself prepared for the day, have breakfast.
Yeah.
And only once she's had breakfast and gotten ready, then she'll sit down and look at her phone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can't relate. Like the moment I open my eyes, I'm like, right, what's next? Like, it's go time.
Like, what have I missed? Who's messaged me while I'm asleep?
Yes. Like what important work things have I missed in the 6 hours that I've been asleep? Like, and 9 times out of 10, it's nothing.
Yes.
Like, because everybody else is asleep too. Like,
so we both need to stop that and get a morning routine.
All right. Well, maybe this should be like, we'll have a little deal.
Yeah.
That between now and the next time we record, we will both make an effort to do 10 minutes of mindfulness every morning in lieu of the phone scroll.
All right, cool.
I'm into that.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm going to like pinky promise this shit. Yeah.
Wait.
And then a little fist bump.
I don't know about the fist bump.
That's what I thought you were going for. What were you going for at the beginning?
Like maybe a handshake?
Oh, that would have made so much more sense. I thought we were cool.
Pinky promise. That's cool.
Other things that I'm looking at, like proactive things, taking some time to read because that's something I care about.
I desperately want to do that too. Yeah.
And then exercising, but like not like going to the gym, whatever, because I just won't have time. Yeah. But like making sure that in the 20 minutes where I'm walking to work, like I'm actively focusing on that and making sure that that's a thing.
So they say this in Pilates as well, that when you're actively thinking about the muscles and you're thinking about your body, you are working it harder and work, you know, maybe you like carry cans of soup to work, you know, and I know it's like a really mini or like 2 water bottles. Yeah. And like, I'm not saying go for a fucking power hike to work or anything, but like actively be aware of holding your arms at a night, you know, and engaging the muscles and being like, I'm doing exercise because that helps those endorphins. Like, that helps that flow.
Yes. And also like walking without looking at my phone.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Do you listen to music while you walk?
I listen to music every moment that I can.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, like I am always listening to music.
Yeah.
Or a podcast or something. Like I'm always listening to something.
Yeah. So I guess that's the other thing, like motivating, positive, uplifting music in the morning. Like,
yeah.
Because as we know, my music taste is pretty grim a lot of the time.
Yes.
I was actually having a really good chat with Ryan about this on the way to Melbourne, talking about like, does all my depressing kind of self-harm, suicidal music, does that have an impact on my mental health and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're never going to be those people that like, you know, blame Eminem for gun violence or anything, but it can certainly affect your mood.
Yeah.
Certainly, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
I wouldn't ever say it can control your choices, but it can definitely.
It can play a part. It can factor into that.
Influence that. So, anything positive and happy, I think, is a great thing to like walk along to. And, you know, you're the star of your own movie, having a little cameo moment. Yeah. Adorable.
I have playlists on playlists. Like,
yeah, I bet.
That's down. And then there's the reactive stuff. So if I know that I am burnt out, what am I doing to focus on that? What have we come up with? Talking to someone was a really good one.
Well, you can always talk to me.
Thank you. Yeah. And like having like those key people where it's like, can we hold each other accountable and like actively properly check in on each other throughout the month?
Well, I will so check in on you. I will be like, please stop.
Yeah. Like, have you breathed? Have you drunk water? Like, hydrate.
My festival season is seriously okay so far. Like,
dude, what?
It's okay. Like, I don't think I've doubled up on anything yet.
It's great.
I mean, we'll see when this podcast comes out, you know, what I've filled in the gaps with. But so far it's okay.
Yeah. And then I think, what else have we got? There was 2 things of like in reactive sort of stuff, like looking for little pockets of space. So whether that be like taking in 10 deep breaths if I feel like I'm getting overwhelmed or something like that. And just
can
like
I
little
tell
things.
You my, sorry, my best breath work that works so well for me.
Okay.
Is 4 in, 10 out.
Okay.
So they actually, my psychologist advised me that the deep breathing in and the deep breaths is actually not very good for you because it triggers the part of your brain that holds trauma and fear and fight and flight responses. So that idea of taking deep breaths, it senses, it triggers your body into going, oh, I know this feeling. We've had this feeling before. This is a panic feeling. Like this is why are we deep breathing? You know, it's scary. The last time we felt like this, this XYZ horrible thing was happening that is stored in your body. Your body remembers trauma. And so they say it's actually better to take slow exhales.
Okay.
This breathing pattern has changed my life.
Yeah.
Truly, I will go out and say that. So it's four in, like like fairly sharp and aggressively, and then it's 10 out super slow.
Okay.
So just like, I mean, obviously I'm not going to blow out for 10 seconds on the podcast. That's not good entertainment.
Oh, but second wise. Yeah, that makes so much more
seconds.
Sense. Yeah.
So 4 seconds in.
Yeah. And then quick.
For 10 seconds.
Okay.
And it seems like a really long exhale. And the first maybe two times in a row that you do it, you might only get to 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And then the next time and then by the fourth, fifth time you're exhaling, you're down to 10 seconds and your heart rate's slowed and your body's relaxed. Like it is something that switches me almost instantly.
Yeah.
Like it's something that I use a lot in supermarkets.
Okay.
I just get so overwhelmed and like I hate it.
Yeah.
And I get dizzy and I feel like, oh my God, it's all spinning around me. And then I'll do my breathing and I'm like, okay, you're so cool.
Yeah.
And I do it in the car a lot. And if I feel that I'm shallow breathing and I'm not getting enough oxygen, that happens to me so frequently.
Yes, same. And there's moments
where
it's
like, are you a shallow breather?
I haven't taken it. I think so. I reckon.
So, yeah, look into it. My chiropractor told me, and apparently you inherit it from your parents.
Hmm.
Like if you are a shallow breather, the chances are that your parents are too. And it's because as a baby, your parents are obviously holding you to their chest. And as a baby, you mimic their breathing patterns. Yeah, their breathing patterns. So my mum's a shallow breather, therefore I'm a shallow breather.
Yeah.
That basically means that you're not breathing into your diaphragm. You're only breathing into your lungs.
Okay.
So your breath's more shallow. And if you're an anxious person as well, like, okay, this shallow breathing situation, right?
Yeah.
Had me in and out of like doctors, hospitals, specialists, because the symptoms I kept telling them were, I feel like I'm not getting a deep enough breath.
Mm.
And that's what I kept saying. And they were like, it's asthma, it's allergies, it's this, it's this. It's actually just anxiety and shallow breathing.
Yeah. Okay.
And I spent so many years and so many different doctors to get that.
Yeah.
For a chiropractor to say, hey, do you know you're a shallow breather?
Yeah.
But like breath work, I know it's so lame, but it's so important.
Definitely.
Especially if you're a shallow breather. Like oxygen deprivation is real.
Yeah.
It can also make you shit yourself.
Love that.
I know from experience.
Great. I've messaged my mum asking if I'm a shallow breather, so we'll see if we get if she is a shallow breather.
Yeah.
Sorry, not me. Should we talk a little bit about what burnout actually is and how to identify it?
Yeah, definitely.
So according to reachout.com, burnout is long-term stress that is just like kind of built out and like kind of built up.
Consistent kind of stress,
So like burnout and stress, they're pretty closely linked, but they're not the same thing. There is actually no real cut, clear, easy definition.
And there's no diagnosis either. It's not like a diagnosable mental health condition as such, but it is definitely something that affects so many people.
Yes. Yeah. And it can affect kind of all parts of yourself, like physical, emotional, mental.
Your relationships with others as well, with your colleagues, with your family. Like if you're not having a good time at work or you're not having a good time in your day.
Yeah.
And you go home to your partner who maybe hasn't done the dishes or hasn't, maybe you're going to react a little bit more extreme, or maybe you're going to take out some of your frustrations on them.
Yeah.
It becomes this horrible cycle where everyone's taking out their feelings on each other and nothing's getting any better.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to check yourself when you do have those feelings towards, you know, partners or loved ones and say, is this me or is this them?
Yeah.
Am I projecting right now?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's also important to say before we delve into like the signs of burnout is that even though we both come from arts backgrounds and arts communities, it's not just arts workers who experience burnout. It's everyone.
Imagine how lawyers must feel.
Oh, yeah.
And doctors. Like people that have essentially people's lives in their hands and their futures in their hands.
Yeah.
Like I don't really carry any responsibility and I'm still overwhelmed and stressed out, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not even just tied to profession as well. You can have burnout even if you, like, aren't in a high-pressured job or anything like that.
You have burnout just from spending too much time with someone.
Like, oh, definitely.
Somebody, an individual person, your family, a situation, a house, anything can, quote-unquote, burn you out. Definitely. So what does that look like?
So a sign of burnout could include feeling exhausted and unable to perform basic tasks.
So here's the thing.
Okay.
Burnout.
Yes.
Kind of replicates a lot of chronic illness symptoms as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And so I think it's really hard and obviously like mimics depression and anxiety. Yes. So I think it's hard when you are a person with mental health struggles to recognize burnout because it goes for so long and you're like, oh, this is just, I'm just having a bad time. I'm just not feeling great right now. You kind of make excuses. And because oftentimes you have so little respect and care for yourself that you just let things go.
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Continue. Yeah.
Losing motivation in many aspects of your life, including your work and friendships.
Yes.
Yes.
Sad.
Yes. Feeling unable to focus or concentrate on tasks.
Yeah, that's that flurry of lists you were talking about.
Yeah. I think it's a mixture of like both burnout and just a lot going on.
Yes.
Feeling empty or lacking in emotion.
Yeah.
That's something I've experienced quite a bit.
Yeah. That's normally for me, that's like middle stage burnout.
Yeah. Okay.
Beginning stage burnout is like the frantic.
Yeah.
The panic, the kind of, really reactionary. And then I hit this middle point of like, it's almost like a mental lull.
Yes.
Where my brain almost goes into autopilot.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing the things.
Yeah. Like you disassociate.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's like, I'm just doing the things. Because I'm good at my job and I know how to do them, but I'm not really there.
Nah, like I'm not taking any of this in. I'm not experiencing anything.
It's all fake smiles. It's all,
Yeah.
That's sad.
Ooh. Losing your passion and drive.
Yeah.
Ties in quite uncomfortably with that. I was going to say nicely, but it's not nice.
No.
Yeah. Which is something that like I find really shitty because I am quite a passionate person. I have passion, a lot of things that I do and I care about. And without that, what's the point?
Do you think that maybe, sorry to call you out.
Oh, great.
But do you think maybe your constant overloading and suffering of burnout this year has contributed to you not doing as much writing as you would like to?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time to think about it. I don't have time to sit there for like 3-4 hours and just write, which is really what you need to do if you are a quote-unquote writer.
Could you, with your strategies for burnout, could you maybe do one day reading, one day writing?
Maybe.
And kind of alternate, or maybe if it's even 1 day a week as a writing exercise for 2 hours. Because I feel like that stuff's really cathartic and could help you in a creative way, especially if you're stuck in, like, you know, jobs.
Yes. Yeah.
Just an idea.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Yeah, think about that. Thank you.
This is what friends are for, just being like, do you think that maybe?
That wasn't very collegiate either.
Good.
Really good. Experiencing conflict in your relationships with coworkers.
This is literally what I was just saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like friction or like passive aggressive comments.
Yes.
And I think as well, if you're a friend, if you have a friend or someone in your life that you think is sort of maybe lashing out or being a little bit nasty, obviously it's hard not to take these things personally, but maybe try approaching that person not in the moment, but at a different time when they're sort of slowed down, or you can write a letter or whatever you need and just say, hey, I'm kind of worried about you. Like, you seem really stressed. I'm sure you haven't meant it, but you've hurt my feelings kind of recently. And you can, it's okay to give people a bit of an out as well. Like if you know that the person you're talking to is not very receptive to confrontation or these kinds of conversations, you can explain, I understand it might be because of X, Y, Z and there's no hard feelings. I just want to check on that you, I want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
Can I help in any way? How could I, you know, lessen your load, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. Yeah. Sorry, I had a facial expression through that just because, like, writing letters. Ooh.
It's not something I do either.
I know. Yeah, great. Okay, cool. Because, like,
I am an email writer, though. Writing emails and writing letters are very different to me.
It's the same. One's electronic and one's handwritten.
See, like, email to me is, I will always be pretty profesh and pretty, like, to the point, whereas letters, I feel like I get really emotional and like you can't backspace and like move paragraphs and like.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, but I don't. Like whenever I write something, I start writing and then I don't. It's just a conscious stream of thought. Yeah. Like every birthday card I've ever written, anything I've ever written is just a conscious stream of thought.
Yeah. I think I've only written a letter of that sort of caliber once to someone. I never sent it. It occasionally shows up in my like Google Drive every now and then, and it's just called "fuck you" and then the person's name. It was so scandalous, cathartic. And it was this thing. It was this time where like a lot of people were writing letters in my friends' lives. They're receiving letters about emotional stuff, and it's just like, why is everyone writing letters? What is this? What period are we in? But I wrote this, like, it was a Google Doc as well, so it was, like, on my phone, whatever, which is why I don't separate emails and letters, because I write everything on my phone. Maybe I need to spend less time on my phone.
That's kind of sounding like a theme here.
Yeah.
I need to spend more time on my phone. Like, like, I need to be more connected to the world sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
Because sometimes I'll just be on my own in the studio for, like, 12-hour days for a week in a row. Yes. And I'm like, nothing is real.
Yeah,
I can smell colours, you know, like it just gets super wild. Ooh. And then I look at some of the things that I've made and I'm like, what is this?
So I wrote this letter and it was very much just this like outpouring of rage and whatever, as you can tell by the title.
Can we? I mean, obviously not, but I really want to do it. Have you heard the dramatic reading of a breakup letter?
Like the concept?
No. Everybody right now, not right now, after this podcast, you'll need to Google a dramatic reading of a breakup letter. It's so good. We'll listen to it after this. It's hilarious. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so it was real cathartic. I don't know the end of that story. It's next point. Withdrawing emotionally from friends and family. This is something I do a lot.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
Annie's always like, you're depressed. And I'm like, no, I just need to be alone.
Yeah. Well, like, I am notoriously really bad at messaging people back.
Are you?
Particularly when I'm stressed or burnt out. Yeah, I just, I'm horrible at it.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I just let things build up or I'm like, I will think about that later or, like, I don't have time, whatever, whatever. Or I just, like, won't see friends and people for a little while and it will be a month and they'll be like,
you okay?
Are you good? Like, I understand, like, when people are like, hey, like, I know you're really busy at the moment. I hate it when people say that. I just, like, and I love that they're aware and they're conscious that I'm busy, but I don't want them to know I'm too busy for them because I don't want to feel like that even though I am, and it's just a never-ending vicious cycle.
It's difficult.
Yeah. So, yeah, I cut people off.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I don't know if I would say I've really experienced burnout as such since I've been sober.
Yeah.
Like, I get super overwhelmed and I get maybe those beginning stages, but I think it's more like mental health related rather than, but again, like we're saying, it's so hard to tell, like maybe it is mental health related, but maybe my mental health's gone bad because I've like done X, Y, Z or I'm doing da, 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 da.
Yeah. Yeah. I once burned out so bad in like 2016 that I dropped everything. And then I like 4 months later, went off to Europe.
That one's really good. That's one of my faves.
For 6 months.
Yeah.
So I was like, nope, I'm out. Yeah. Bye.
I reckon I've done the runner to Europe at least 3 times in my life. Like, and even then, when I'm in Europe or like when I'm in the UK, I'll be like, okay, I'm out. And then off I am in the Netherlands for whatever, you know?
It's like, so easy to escape.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't know. It's like with Brexit now.
Brexit.
Those are all the symptoms. Yeah. It goes on to say, essentially, when you've reached the point of burnout, it can feel like you've had the life sucked out of you.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer feel capable of caring about what's important to you to make any effort or to stay motivated.
Mm.
Yeah. It does then go to say, what can I do about it? Which is really nice. That was a reaction.
Because I just, like, the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, yes, I do. Like, yes, I'm sitting here right now saying that I don't experience it.
Yeah.
But when I'm really thinking about it actually maybe I'm just in a constant state of burnout and that's why I don't feel it. She's just smiling and nodding at me like, mm-hmm, you got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Please continue this train of thought.
Attacked. Yeah, like maybe it's just that I have been going so hard for so long that this is comfortable to me and this is, oh my God, it's happening. I'm having the RTR. I'm having the real-time revelation.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because if I stop, I'll die. Yeah. Oh, Caitlin's looking at me like yes, yeah, bitch, call it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why, like I really do feel like I'll die.
Okay.
Like I feel like.
Like if you stop, then.
Then what the fuck is the point of anything? Yeah. Like it's like, yeah, I have to be doing all the things because otherwise I'm just thinking about how shitty I am.
Yeah.
And like.
Hi, this is me a week ago.
This is the worst.
Yeah, right? You feel really uncomfortable right now? Yeah.
I do. And yeah, I feel that's like, okay. But I also feel like I don't want to stop.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to cut down on my responsibilities. I feel like there's nothing that I could give up.
Yeah.
And I know that's obviously
so
not true, but what would I possibly give up? Like I can't.
You're looking at me like I should have the answers and I don't have the answers, Tash.
This like we're is both just
yeah. This is me.
Yeah.
Like these are words I have said to people and I think and I can feel my brain being like, but if I don't do this, then like I'm missing out on this and I won't be doing this and I'll just find something else to fill that
it's
time.
Also like career FOMO, you know? Like I'm like, yeah, but I can do all these things right now that will be so good.
But at the same time, it was meant to happen. It's meant to happen. And it has to happen in a way that is healthy and sustainable.
You're so right.
Yeah, I know. Whether or not I take my own advice, I'm trying.
This is like, so this is the worst part of my brain.
Yeah.
Is like having the awareness, being self-aware to know about it, but hating myself too much to change.
Oh, okay.
See, that's what mine comes down to.
Ooh, yeah.
Like that is my core wound of everything is that I hate myself. So
yeah.
If I slow down, then I have to process thoughts and then I have to feel how much I hate myself.
Interesting.
And then I'll just get stuck in that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of getting stuck in that.
I think my core whatever is the, like, that's where the vulnerability comes into it.
Okay.
And then, like, trying to find stability within that.
Wild.
And in people. Because, like.
So what is a stable person to you? Like, like a stable friend?
Well, yeah, I think someone, I genuinely don't know. Like, I feel like I definitely have stable people in my life, but I have. Like, you always see versions of stability where it is a location or a house or, like, a stable family, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I grew up
in... Not with that.
Not with that. Because, like,
same, yeah.
Moved a lot. Like, physically have never had a stable home or a stable house just because
we've moved.
And that's,
like, one of the foundations of having your shit together.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This is a lot. So I think this is the most I've ever revealed on this podcast. Yes.
Ooh, see, like, I want to. You're about to live alone. This is like your new
thing. Yeah.
And I am desperate to live alone.
Yeah.
But it's difficult because I also want Annie next to me
24/7. Yeah, no.
Like, it's so annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I want both.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be able to live alone and be able to, like, her to just magic away when I need my own space.
Yeah.
But then to just. Obviously, it's such a selfish thing. And then just to be there when I've had my alone time, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm not, oh, my God, is that just me withdrawing again, though? Like, not wanting to be around people and only, like.
Potentially, but then there's also that thing of, like, if you're an extrovert and you're an ambivert, like, how do you draw your energy? Like, how do you recharge?
How do I draw my energy? How do I reach? These are all great questions. Yeah. I lay in the sun.
Yeah.
And I know I've talked about that before.
Like a battery. Like that a solar power.
That is literally
battery.
My life. Like, and I feel like the ocean recharges me as well.
Yes.
It's a very cleansing, clearing, grounding thing for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Like, my sister. So, do you know what a forest bath is?
No.
Yeah. So, it's basically like taking yourself out into the woods or out into the forest in a safe place. Please stay on the trails, people.
Yeah.
Murderinos are going to be like, stay out of the forest. Go into the forest. And it's just the idea of like walking around or laying down or meditating or whatever you need to do and just bathing in nature and just letting it sort of overtake you, wash over you, and just really let it cleanse and rinse you. And I don't think you need to be a particularly spiritual person to do that. I think you just need to have a good imagination, to be honest, and like mind over matter, you know. So my sister's a big forest bather,
yeah,
and I'm definitely like an ocean
Yeah.
Person.
Yes. So it's interesting. So reach out for a suggestion of like methods and like ways to kind of help yourself is to take regular time out, including setting aside some time each day to switch off from technology.
Okay. So what is time out?
It's just stopping.
Yeah, but
for like 5 minutes. Or
but what
that.
Are you doing? Well, like
nothing. That's the thing, Tash. You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing.
No.
You're just sitting there. You're not doing anything. You're not thinking about anything. You're
but
not checking
not
your phone.
Possible.
Yes, it is. I
don't think I've ever had that.
Okay.
Like I don't think I've ever done nothing.
Yeah. So this that like 10 minutes of meditation.
Yeah.
That counts as that.
But you're
time.
Meditating. Like you're.
I know, but you're still like you're not thinking about other things. Like like that whole mindfulness. You're just taking a time out.
See, I guess my problem is that when I'm meditating, I'm thinking hard about meditating, and I'm thinking
okay.
like for me, meditating isn't. I mean, I'm obviously not very good at it yet.
Yeah.
But meditating, it's not quiet for me. It's like I have to do like a visual. Like I'm kind of doing this whole imaginary thing of like maybe it's like a ball of light moving around me or maybe it's like but I've got a visual. Like I'm playing something on my screen, you know, I'm playing out a film, I'm playing out a thing. Like
interesting.
I'm not just sitting. Like I'm,
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean. Like people are always like, just stop and do nothing. I'm like, but what is that? Like how?
Interesting.
Even in the bath.
Oh,
Annie will go mad at me. She's like, are you fucking doing Pilates right now? And I'll just be like doing little like tilt shifts and stuff. And I'm like, two birds, one stone. Like I'm obsessed with multitasking.
Yes.
And I will, like if I could be crafting while I was on this podcast, I would do it. Like, you know, and, like, you know, we drove to Melbourne. I couldn't just sit in the back. I had to be listening to a podcast, but also listening to Annie and Ryan's conversation, but also making pom-poms.
Yes.
Like, have to be doing all the things.
Yeah, I understand this completely. But also, you just like just 5 or 10 minutes where even you're just laying there not doing anything and every time you feel your brain being like, I need to think about this or I need to do that or I need to check this, you stop.
It's like awareness and being like, name 5 things you can smell.
Yeah.
No, name 5 things when you can smell, see, touch,
I have no
taste,
idea.
Look, I don't
sure.
know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. The next one is developing skills such as problem solving to help you handle tricky situations. I think we're both very practical and resourceful people. We're just going to move on. setting boundaries so that you avoid overextending yourself. I think that's a big one. Like learning that it's sometimes okay to say no.
I said no to something actually recently.
I'm proud
of you. I got an email and I read through it and I was like, huh, this is a consistent amount of work that would need my consistent involvement for up to a year.
Mm.
That's a lot. And I said no in a really polite and professional way. I was like, I actually can't take this on right now.
Yeah.
And they were really understanding and accepting of that.
Excellent.
And then, because that's the other thing, like I'm afraid that people will be mad at me or like if I say no, I will have let them down, I'll be disappointing them or like I'll be missing out on an opportunity or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you could miss out on, Jamila actually pointed this out. I was sick and couldn't go to one of Annie's shows on the weekend and I was really disappointed. And she said, yes, you've missed out on this, but because you're taking time out of this one event, it means you are not going to burn out and you're going to get to see a lot more things and do a lot more things later down the line, which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And she's totally right. And I really needed to hear that in that moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just reminded me that, okay, I can just Netflix and nap.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Trash TV is my turning off.
Oh, okay.
Like that's the only time my brain can.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I can't even, like, I still find myself scrolling through my phone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So my time turning off is going into a cinema where it is rude to look at your phone. And that way I'm sitting in the dark for 2 hours talking to no one, just concentrating on what's in front of me.
So does listening to podcasts and laying down count as doing nothing?
Sure.
Cool. When I do that sometimes.
Cool, yeah.
Well, I'm often crafting at the same time, but whatever.
Yeah. Next one is keeping an open line of communication with colleagues, family, friends about what you're doing and feeling. And the next one leads into that, which is reaching out for support, whether it's from friends, family, colleagues, or a health professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those conversations can be really hard to have, though, especially if you're in a position where you feel like your job might be at risk because of it.
Mm.
In the arts, I think we're really lucky that there's such great understanding about mental health, but in a lot of other jobs there isn't. Yeah. And it's not as easy to say, hey, I'm really overwhelmed, I actually need a day off. Like,
but also the understanding in the arts is still relatively new.
You're right. And I think I'm saying that more thinking of my own immediate circle rather than I guess I forget how privileged my circle I am to have my circle be so supportive and understanding.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one is reevaluating your goals and priorities so that you tip the balance back to including activities that make you feel happy.
Huh. Don't quite know how to do that either. Like, yeah. I wouldn't know how to make something for myself.
Yeah, okay.
And that's been disappointing me a lot lately. Like, I've had some time. I've been like, oh, I'm going to do something for me. And then it turns into a commission or it turns into something else. And I'm like, I've done it again.
Yeah. Yeah, a time.
I get dressed for me. Like,
okay.
My clothes are for me. Like, the crazy ensembles that I put together are for me.
Yeah.
That's my version, I guess, of, like, my morning routine is, like, putting on a wild look or not, like if I don't want to be spoken to, you know?
Yeah, fair. The darkness.
The disguise. Yeah. Yes. I rocked up to a show recently and Annie was like, oh, you're in your disguise. And it's like all black, glasses on. Like,
wow. Yeah.
No one talked to me.
Yeah. That's it. Those are all the tips. Thanks, reach out.
Fucking full on.
I feel like we've done a lot of learning.
We have done a little learning and also a little bit of annoying realization that we clearly suffer from this on a regular, I would say almost daily basis.
I already knew that. I was aware. You're the one who had the real-time realization.
Interesting. Like, it just doesn't seem fair. Do you know what I mean? Like, and this comes up for me a lot. Like, it doesn't seem fair that I have to be an addict. And that I also have to have anxiety.
Okay.
And that I also, like, have to have all these issues with food and eating.
Yeah.
And now you're telling me that I'm also constantly living in burnout. Like, that's not fair. Do you know what I mean? Like, it all feels really not fair. Like,
okay.
What's that about? I feel like a child wanting to, like, throw my shit and be like, I'm trying to deal with all of this stuff.
Yes.
And every time I uncover one thing, it's like, oh, it's like, it's just like Russian dolls of trauma. Like, that's what my life fucking
more
feels
and more
like.
And more.
Yes.
But like the same with those Russian nesting dolls, there's always one thing at the very, very end in the inside that is what leads to all the
I hate
things.
Myself.
Yeah.
Ugh.
That's the thing.
Like, how's a gal supposed to learn self-love, you know? Like, how am I simultaneously the biggest, like, self-hype girl and the most self-hating person ever?
I don't know. That's why we have this podcast, Ash.
Why am I like this?
Yeah.
Trauma.
That's the crux of it.
So, like, that's a huge thing. We should probably wrap up this little podcast.
Yeah.
I'm all distracted.
You're just,
now.
Like, done. Yeah. We'll check in. We'll see what we're like in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Hopefully we've made it through the festival season.
Yeah.
We will be checking in with you guys afterwards.
Yeah.
Let you know how it all went.
Yeah.
See if we managed to stick to our meditating in the mornings.
Yeah.
Join us.
We should do little, like, voice memo and, like, Instagram stories.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll do some Instagram stories.
That'd
you guys can follow along with our mindfulness.
Yes. Do it with us.
I also want to plug our Patreon.
Yes.
Because we're getting
By the way, we have a new Patreon member.
Oh, that's exciting.
Libby O'Donovan.
Libby O'Donovan.
Yes.
Country singer. Superstar.
Yeah.
That's amazing and adorable.
Yes.
Hi, Libby. Thank you so much. That's the bloody cutest.
Yeah.
If
you would like to support us on Patreon, you can.
Heading
to Patreon. The link will be in the show notes.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet.
It's really lovely. Yeah.
There's some cool content on there. There's a couple of episodes. I have released some horrific photos of myself that you'll be able to see. And the feedback so far has been that it's difficult for people to see me like that.
Yeah, okay.
Because hearing me talk about it is one thing.
Yeah.
But seeing it is like, oh, and they can't imagine me being that because they've only known me sober.
Yeah, I get that. I get that a lot when, because you'll send me some of the photos in which and I'll have to take a moment of like, how do I respond to this?
Yeah.
This is the Tash I don't know.
Yeah. And it's all kind of gross.
Yeah.
Also, ratings and reviews are so appreciated. It takes like 2 seconds and it costs you nothing, but it is wonderful for us and it really helps algorithms, helps us get seen.
And it genuinely makes my day. Like, I was reading back on them the other day and I was like, oh, this is, we're doing a thing.
A thing. And you don't have to write a review. Like, you can just write good.
Yeah.
Or
love it. Just hit the 5 stars and that's all you need. And then like submit and then done.
Perfect. Love it. Our podcast. So I made an error. I keep plugging our playlist. So for the whole of season one, I've been like, listen to our playlist. Yeah. Why do I like this?
Yeah.
I only made it public on the weekend.
You're kidding. You're kidding
I'm
me.
I'm so sorry, everyone.
What? Oh my God.
Because I was like, why can't I find this?
Yeah.
And then I realized I didn't have it on public. I had it on collaborators.
That's hilarious.
Yep. So yeah. I apologize. If you want to listen to our tunes that I have been referencing and banging on about for an entire season, the playlist on Spotify is from Annie's account, but it's called Why Do I Like This?
Yeah.
You can find us on Instagram at Why Do I Like This Pod. Yep. You can shoot us an email at justwhy@gmail.com.
Justwhypod@gmail.com.
And
what's your thing for the week, Tash?
Oh, all right. Never will I find an enemy bigger than my apathy.
Ooh, wow. That's not mine.
That's a song lyric.
Yeah.
I want to say it's from some really lame, like, Google that. It's like, it's going to be like red jumpsuit apparatus or something like that.
But I know of it. And I don't listen to that music.
Rude.
Never will I find an enemy bigger than my apathy. Lyrics. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, it's a Mumford and Sons lyric.
Gross. Oh my God, gross.
That's why I know it, because I listen to Mumford and Sons.
What song?
Oh, it's Only If I Had an Enemy Bigger Than My Apathy, I Gave You All, is the song. Which is like real grueling.
Yeah, I remember that song. I feel like it's definitely in an emo song because I don't think that's right. Anyway, that's what I'm going to go with today. It's not a positive one. It's not an uplifting one. It's just something that I think to myself all the time.
Yeah.
And I just wish I was somebody else. Woo!
That's such a fun note to end this on. That's it. That's the end.
Bye.
Bye. If you've been affected by anything said in this episode, please contact Lifeline at 13 11 14 or www.lifeline.org.au. Why Am I Like This is a weekly good production produced by Caitlin Ellen Moore and hosted by Tash. The audio for this podcast was recorded and edited by Ryan Martin John. The Why Am I Like This jingle was created by Annie Siegman and Ryan Martin John. Why Am I Like This was recorded and produced on Kaurna lands, and we pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Thanks for listening.